If you're following along, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 again. And I'm still on verse 10 and 11, but as a brief reminder, let me say that a Christian, a believer, a child of God does not have to get drunk to be carnal.
Exactly.
All you have to do is brag on men.
That's it.
And you're just as carnal as any other fleshly thing in this world.
Exactly.
Paul's basic whole summary to this whole chapter can be seen in verse 21, when he talks about carnality. Here was the Corinthians' carnality. It wasn't because of some of the immorality that was in Corinth, and there was some immorality in Corinth.
Yes, sir.
But notice, David, Paul didn't call that carnal. He calls this carnal. What? Verse 21, therefore, let no man glory in men.
Amen.
That's being carnal.
Yes, sir.
No matter how spiritual a person thinks they are, if they glory in men, they are carnal.
Yep.
Now, we come to see what Paul says, that salvation is of the Lord. That is, anyone who's ever saved, God does it all.
Amen.
Even a person's believing is a result of God Almighty's work and power.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
We don't believe by our will.
No.
We believe because of the will of God.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And now we've come to this third part that the Apostle Paul is talking about, and that's in verse 10 and 11. And let me read that. According to the grace of God which is given me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. And he's basically talking about Apollos. Paul had come and was the first one to preach the person and work of Jesus Christ to these Corinthians. And then after they had believed through the power of God, then Apollos then was preaching the truth on top of what Paul was saying. So Apollos and anybody else who preached to them was building thereon. As he said, I have laid the foundation, and another man buildeth thereon. Then he says, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. And the reason is, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, there were three things I mentioned to you last time, and I am going to go back over one of them in detail. There's a reason why, but let me give you those three things again. One, and Paul's already stated it, is just what we've read. This number one, Jesus Christ is the only foundation in salvation.
Amen.
Paul says, for other foundation can no man lay. There is no other foundation to lay.
Amen.
Anything other than Christ is nothing but an attempt to lay a foundation. It's equal to what Paul would say to the Galatians. I think Joe mentioned it. There is but one gospel.
Yes, sir.
Now, some men come along and preach another gospel, but then immediately the Spirit moves Paul to say, which is not another. But there be some that pervert the gospel of Christ.
Yes, sir.
So any other so-called foundation is but a perversion of the one true foundation. There is one foundation in salvation, and that's Jesus Christ. Secondly, we looked at this, and we can derive this from the context. This truth is of divine origin. Man did not come up with this doctrine.
That's it.
Matter of fact, man by nature hates this doctrine.
Amen.
Yeah.
Man will not have the gospel that I am preaching and Joe preached this morning. Man will not have the gospel that the Apostle Paul preached unless it's by work of God's free and sovereign grace.
Amen.
So again, this truth is of divine origin. And thirdly, all subsequent building must be upon the one foundation. Whatever I say today, And everything I've said before and everything that God would allow me to say in the future, everything I say is building upon that one foundation that's already laid.
Yes, sir.
I can't lay that foundation. Yes. It's already been laid.
Amen.
And everything I say is to be building upon that foundation if I'm preaching the truth.
That's it.
Now, if I'm not preaching the truth, I'm not even in the vicinity of the foundation or the building. But even if I'm preaching the truth, how I do it and what sort I do it with will be judged.
Yeah.
And that's what Paul's talking about here. The Apostle Paul is not talking about God judging us, all of us, and judging all of our works. He's judging. Paul's talking about there will be a day when fire will judge what men have built upon the foundation he had laid.
Yeah.
Let me give you one brief thing. Just think about it. These people's works could be burned, but they'll not be tarnished.
That's it.
But some men will be judged for their works, and they'll be damned.
Amen.
That's exactly.
And you know what the only difference is? Grace.
Amen.
You see, these men are not going to be judged for themselves. Their works are going to be judged. But it says, they shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And somebody says, what's that mean? It doesn't really matter what exactly it means. You know what it means. They're going to be saved. Even though their works may burn up, they are not going to burn up.
Exactly.
Right? But yet we read in Revelation that some men's works are not going to be judged. They are going to be judged according to their works.
That's right.
I want to be in the first group.
Amen.
Yeah. Exactly.
I want to be in the first group. Now, I don't necessarily, David, like to think that some of my works may burn up, but they will.
Yeah.
They will. But I know this, if I'm judged according to my works, I will burn up.
Exactly. That's it.
I'll be the one burnt, not the works.
Yeah.
The works will be irrelevant.
Yeah.
Some men are judged according to their works. Other men's works are judged.
Mm-hmm.
Which one do you want to be?
Okay,
which we want to be. Now, I want to examine number one again. That is that Jesus Christ is the only foundation in salvation. And the reason why is because I made a statement about election and spoke about it being the foundation. And that's not the context of what Paul's saying here. Let me say this again. And also, after that, we talked during the meal, and then Mac and I were talking about regeneration and it being a foundation truth. Now, not to get too far ahead of myself here, because I'm going to say this again. All truth is foundational.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
The truth is foundational, but there is a foundation upon which everything else is built.
Yes, sir.
Let me put it this way. Neither election, nor regeneration, nor faith, nor repentance, our gathering together, or our good works. None of these things, as I said, including election, regeneration, faith, and repentance. None of these things is the foundation of salvation.
Amen.
How do I know this? Because Paul said there is but one foundation. And he said no other foundation can be laid than that which is already laid.
Amen.
If we take it in context, he's specifically talking about what he did at Corinth.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because he's writing to them about having laid the foundation in Corinth, and then all these other fellows are building on his foundation. Right? That's what he's talking about. So what did Paul preach when he come to Corinth? And he tells us, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Amen.
The foundation of salvation is Jesus Christ and His cross work.
Yes, sir.
That's the foundation. Faith, election, because that comes before faith. Regeneration, because that comes before faith. Faith, repentance, good works, all of these other things are built upon the foundation Jesus' person and cross work.
Yes, sir.
And that's what Paul means when he said, Jesus Christ and what? And him what? Crucified.
Amen.
That was my message, Paul said. I didn't care whether you learned anything else.
Yeah.
But what? Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Amen.
And guess how long he was there?
Yeah.
A little over 2 years.
Exactly.
Most people would get tired of it in 2 weeks.
That's it.
Wouldn't they? Except for what? God had told Paul before he even got there, don't you be afraid, I have much people in this city.
Amen.
Now, Jesus Christ, as I said, and his cross work is the foundation of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Now let me specifically address this matter. Having said that, this does not mean these other things are unimportant. Okay? Two things can happen, and they have happened, maybe not necessarily here. There are some people who see Christ and his cross work as the foundation, then they make these other things as unimportant, except for maybe election. As long as you're elected, it's all right. Or except for maybe regeneration, but as long as you're regenerated, it's all right. Don't have to have faith. All of these things are not only not unimportant, but they're vital.
Yes, sir.
They are essential. Except ye be born again, ye cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's regeneration. You got to have
Amen.
It. Without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Amen.
What's that mean? You got to have it.
Yeah.
Our Lord said, told the people, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. What's that mean? You got to have it.
Yes, sir.
Oh, let me go even further. The Apostle Paul, in speaking about us gathering together and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Do you know what he says immediately after that verse? For if we sin willfully, after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth therefore no sacrifice for sin. What's the context? The context is gathering together.
Yeah.
If I abandon the people and the gospel of God, what do I have but nothing? Nothing. To abandon the assembly, to abandon it now, to forsake it is to forsake Christ.
Yeah.
It is equivalent. Now, I'm not saying God's people can't fall. I'm not saying things don't happen. But when a person in their heart and mind abandons the assembly of themselves together, they are abandoning God and his gospel.
That's it.
And that's the truth Paul taught there. But let me tell you this. That's not the foundation of your salvation. Good works. Are they not vital? They're vital. Because God says he's ordained his people to walk in them. So you go walk in them.
Yes, sir.
Whether you expect it or not. Because God's ordained you would.
That's right.
They're going to happen.
Yes, sir.
But they're not the foundation of your salvation. Now, I know that automatically some people say, but I thought faith is. No, faith don't forgive your sins.
That's right.
Faith does not justify you in God's sight. There's something that forgives our sins. You know what that is? The blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There is something that justifies us in God's sight. You know what that is? The blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There is something that reconciled us to God. Before we ever knew anything about it. You know what that was? The blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Jesus Christ and him crucified is the foundation of all salvation.
Yeah.
All of the, if I preach election, I've got to be building on that foundation.
Amen.
Mason. Right. If I'm preaching faith or regeneration, proper order, faith, repentance, good works, all these other things, they are but building upon the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
In other words, my salvation hinges on what Christ did for me, not what God does to me.
That's right.
But because, and if Christ did this for me, God will also do everything else to me.
Yeah.
Why? Because God's building a house. Right? Remember, it's a divine order. If a man lays the foundation, what? As a wise master builder. Paul is a wise master builder. But how? According to the grace of God. When I preach, this person believed. But how? According as God gave to every man.
Yes, sir.
Well, this person laid down the seed and that person watered. But what does God say in His Word through Paul? I gave the increase.
Amen.
God uses planters and waters. God is not dependent on planters and waters.
Exactly.
But planting and watering are essential.
Yes, sir.
They're essential. But nevertheless, that's not the foundation. Paul's already laid the foundation. That's Jesus Christ and His cross work.
Yes.
Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You remember it says, well, for verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. And you remember when we went through this, what the Greek actually says there. But here's the point. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's farm. You're His husbandry. And look, ye are God's building.
Amen.
You see, God is the one that laid the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Paul may have been a vessel mason God used, but it didn't depend on Paul.
Yeah,
it depended on God.
Amen.
God is dependent on no man. God said in the Old Testament, if I needed something, I wouldn't ask you.
Exactly.
That's what He tells us.
Amen.
If I needed anything, I wouldn't ask you. Do we believe God lies? Is God melodramatic? Does God exaggerate? No. If God needed anything, if He did, He don't. But even if He did, He wouldn't ask us.
Exactly.
No, these things are essential. And even God called preachers, and I do that just to make a point. That's basically what Paul's talking about. Even men who preach the gospel shall have their works tried as to the sort, what sort it is, and to how they build, right?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is.
Amen.
Right? And then also in verse 10, according to the grace of God which was given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed. What? How he buildeth thereon. Now let me stop and jump ahead for just a moment. Paul says about these works, there he says, every man's work shall be made manifest, right?
Yep.
For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. But what does he say? Just preceding that, now if any man build upon this foundation, not another foundation,
exactly.
But what foundation? The person and work of Christ. If any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Every man, now there's the context. Not every man in the world, every man who's building on this foundation.
Yeah, that's it.
See, that's the context. It's not all preachers are going to have their works judged. Some preachers are going to be judged according to the works.
Yeah.
Because they're outside of the covenant of grace.
Amen.
And then some preachers will have their works judged because they're inside the covenant of grace.
Yeah.
And there is a difference.
Yeah.
Somebody says, God makes a difference? Oh, He made a difference.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
But look what it says, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Now, I would agree with most people that it is probably preferable, and the illustration would seem to hold, that the best thing would be to have gold, silver, and precious stones.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because the wood, hay, and stubble won't stand up to the what? The fire, right? But here's the problem. Now, I don't disagree with that. My problem is sometimes what I think is gold, silver, and precious stones is wood, hay, and stubble. That's my problem. I don't always, David, know what's gold and silver and precious stones. But I may preach the truth of election, but if I do it out of pride, it's wood, hay, and stubble. I may preach the glories of a God-given faith, but if I do it somehow trying to hype up men or anything, if it is not the truth of God exactly, Mason, it'll be wood, hay, and stubble.
That's it.
But then on the other hand, there are times when we may think, you may think, because if you ever speak to someone concerning the truth of God, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You're building on that foundation, and your work will be judged too.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to do what I'm doing, David, to be here. If you're building on that foundation, your work will be judged. But here's the thing. Sometimes what we think is wood, hay, and stubble is sometimes gold, silver, and precious stones.
Right.
Now, there are a lot of people, they think singing in the choir is gold, silver, precious stones. But you know what? God never tells the New Testament church to even have a choir.
That's exactly right.
Does it? But does that mean if I sing in a choir that automatically that's sinful? Not necessarily either, is it? You see, some men, Paul says, preach Christ even out of pretense.
Yeah.
Didn't he say that? Now, do you think that's going to stand the test of fire? No. But God still uses and can use such a thing, right? He can use such a thing. You see, the whole point is the truth of salvation is the cross work of Jesus Christ. That's what it all hinges on. You see, if Christ died for me, I'll have everything else I need.
Yeah.
Somebody said the Bible don't say that. Well, yeah, it does. Quite clearly, too.
Yes, sir.
Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? What things? Well, the things concerning foreknowledge, a predestination, calling, justification, and glorification.
Yes, sir.
What should we say to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? Well, I can be against myself. You've always been against yourself.
Exactly.
You've always been your own worst enemy. I have too.
Amen.
I'm my own worst problem. The devil ain't my problem. I'm my problem.
Yeah.
I can't even be against me. Why? Because God's for me.
Yeah.
If he's for me, who can be against you, right? If God be for us, who can be against us? Look, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Every one of these people here, from the foreknown to the glorified, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those that God is for. Now, God ain't for everybody.
Exactly.
But he's for us. He's for these folks. The ones he foreknew, he's for every one of them all the way to the glorified. Look, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, I guess all don't mean all there, does it? Well, it means all that you need.
Yes,
now, it don't mean all without exception, but it means all that's essential.
Amen.
All that's absolutely vital. If you need it, God will give it to you. Now just say, I'll just sit back and wait. Well, ain't that what the scripture says? Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
Yeah.
Now come on now.
Yeah.
Let's not get too illiterate. Oh, I'm afraid to say that. Somebody might misunderstand me. They're going to misunderstand you anyway.
Exactly.
When you attempt to speak the truth of the or the truth of God built upon the foundation of the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Unless God opens their eyes, they're not going to see it.
Exactly.
They're going to misunderstand most everything you say.
Amen. That's right.
According to what I've just said this morning, somebody come along and say, well, he don't believe you got to be born again. Don't be a fool.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what I've said. That's not what I've said. Yep. And it can't be twisted around that that's what I said. But I'm here to say again, neither election, regeneration, faith, repentance, etc., etc., etc. is the foundation of salvation. Christ and his cross work is the foundation of my salvation.
Amen.
You can have all the faith in the world and still die and go to hell.
That's right.
James says some people's faith is not valid.
Exactly.
It's a dead faith, but it's faith nonetheless.
That's right.
The devils believe and tremble.
That's right.
They do more than most people do. They obey.
Yeah.
They beg God to let them do things.
Mm-hmm.
Don't they?
Oh, yeah.
What does most people say? God, I'm going to do this even if the hair lips God.
Mm-hmm.
No. You may do it. It's only because God let you do it.
Exactly.
It's only because he gave you the breath and the very life to do it. No. Think about it. Now, let me say also, this is not, what I'm saying is not about what we have to know or understand to be saved. You may not understand or know that the work, the cross work of Christ is the foundation truth. But if he died for you, it is the foundation.
Yes, sir.
Whether you know it or not. That's not the point. You may at this moment think faith is one of the most vital things in the world to you. And let me tell you, faith is vital.
Yes, sir.
But faith is only valid if it comes from the work of Christ.
Amen.
If Christ died for me, then God will give me faith. That's what Romans 8 said. If I need repentance, if Christ died for me, God will give it to me.
Amen.
Because he that spared not his own son, how shall he not with him also freely give us what? All things. If I need some good works, what's going to happen? God's going to give them to me.
Yes, sir.
And he's going to make me walk in them.
Yes.
And I might not even know it's a good work. Yes. And it might stand the test of the fire, Mac.
Right.
And I thought it was nothing. And then there are other works that God didn't ordain for me to walk in as good works. Now they still are ordained, but they're not ordained as good works. And I'm pretty proud of them things. Gold, silver, precious stones. And I may see those things, Mason, melt away in front of my eyes. But if I'm built upon the right foundation, my house will stand. Right? Well, isn't that the illustration our Lord used in Matthew 7, verses 24 through 29? A wise man is a man that builds his house on a rock.
Yeah.
Right? Now, let me tell you, you're going to have a house. You ain't going to be able to stand out there on that rock on your own. You see, you still got to have the shelter, Mason, of the house. Election, regeneration, faith, repentance, good works. All of these things are in the purpose of God, but they are not my salvation. Christ and his cross work is.
Amen.
His blood is. The problem with the man whose house fell wasn't his house, though, was it? That wasn't the problem. The problem was the foundation. He built it on sand. But the house is still vital. The man on the rock wasn't standing on the rock and said, well, let the storms blow. David, he built a house.
Yeah, that's right.
Didn't he? He built a house. The house is vital. It's necessary. But that's not the key. The key is the foundation.
Yes, sir.
Now, you want to try it without a house, you go right ahead.
Yeah.
You think you can stand on the rock on your own? You go right on. But I'll tell you this. Unless you're built upon the one foundation, neither you nor your house will stand. Right? And our Lord said about that house that was built upon the sand, not only did it fall, David, what did he say? He said, great. Can you imagine a person really expecting to make it to heaven? And then Christ says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Can you imagine the shock to the soul? That will be in that day. And let me tell you something, that scares me right now.
Yes, sir.
That makes me want to continually examine to see, is my house? Now, I got a house. Some people don't. But I got a house. But that's not the point. The point is my house built upon the rock?
Amen.
Right?
That's it.
Because some other people do have a house.
Yep.
They got a house too. But their house is built on the sand.
Mm-hmm.
And when the storms hit, the house crumbles with the foundation. And great is the fall of it. You see, there are two ways. Didn't our Lord say that? There's the broad way, and then there's the narrow way. Now, I know most people teach, though, the broad way, that's drinking and partying, smoking dope. That ain't the broad way. That way ain't even in that context. There's a broad way. That's the way of I can do it myself. I'll build my house wherever I want to build my house.
Yes, sir.
As long as I got a house, I'm all right. That's the broad way. That is false Christianity. That's Christianity that bases its hope on anything other than the person and work of Jesus Christ. Think about this. Here's the facts about salvation. Election was in light of shed blood. Wasn't it? Election, he chose us to be saved. Right?
Yeah.
Now, there's a sense in which election is salvation, but it's not all of salvation. The foundation of salvation is what? Blood.
Yes, sir.
Election was in light of shed blood. Regeneration is because of shed blood. Faith looks to shed blood. Repentance turns to shed blood. Gathering is for the love of shed blood. Good works honor shed blood.
Yes, sir.
And did our Lord not say, he that eateth not my flesh and drinketh not my blood? What's that? That's his person and work.
Yeah.
See, that's his person and his cross work.
Yeah.
You see? Not just any old work, but his person and his cross work. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood, that person has life.
Yeah.
If you're not eating my flesh and drinking my blood, he said, you got no life in you. I don't care what you profess. It don't matter what I profess. If I'm not eating his flesh and drinking his blood, I have no life in me. Why? I'm not built on the right foundation.
Amen.
Life comes not to eat, nor not because you eat, but so that you can eat.
Yes, sir.
If God ever makes you alive, you'll feast upon the person and cross work of Jesus. You'll feast on it. You'll be glad for it. You'll rejoice in God about it. And you want to serve him because of it.
Exactly.
It's not just, oh, goodness, I get to go to heaven.
Yeah.
You know? There's a, like I said, it's about of love. I don't just ask you to believe the truth. I'm telling you, God's got to make you love it.
Yes, sir.
You can believe it till the cows come home, still die and go to hell. If you believe it through your own effort.
Yeah.
But if you believe it through the work of God, you're going to love it. And Christ and his cross work will be central to you. Whether you understand that's the foundation, that's going to be central to you.
Yeah.
It's going to be something that's deep in your soul that just, you know, election may scare you. You know why? Because Joe, I wasn't there when God chose. Was you? It says God wrote some names down in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The names are already there. I wasn't there, Mason, to see my name wrote down. But I know this. I do know this. I rejoice in and love the truth of Jesus Christ and his cross work.
Amen.
I know that. And that's not boasting. I hated that when I first heard it. I rebelled against it when I first heard it. But God, you say, God made you believe? Yes, he made me believe.
Yes, sir.
And he made me want to believe. And he made me glad I believed.
Yes, sir.
He done all of it. Hebrews 9:22, the second part. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. You can repent all day long, still go to hell.
Yes, sir.
You can gather in assembly all day long if blood wasn't shed for you.
Exactly.
There is no remission. But if blood was shed for you,
yeah.
Remission took place when the blood was shed.
Amen.
Now there's a foundation.
Amen.
Right? It ain't I got to believe it enough to get my sins forgiven. My sins were forgiven. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
That's it. It's a done deal. Chapter 9, verse 14. The apostle says, if the blood of bulls and goats could soothe the conscience, how much more shall the what? Blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself to God, purge your conscience from dead works. To do what? Not just to believe, but also to do what? What does that say? To serve the living God. What is the one thing, the one form, and I'll use that word, that we're all told to do together as a group? What are we told to do? We're told to eat bread and drink the wine. And what do those things talk about?
Yes,
his flesh and his blood.
Amen.
Now we're baptized on our own. We don't all get baptized together. We're baptized at different times in different places, and some of us by different people, right? But one thing we all do together, and what's that? Partake of that table.
Yes, sir.
To remember what? His person and cross work. Do this, what does he say? In remembrance of me. And it's not a coincidence, Joe, that it's flesh and blood.
That's right.
Is it? Flesh and blood. What does Hebrews say? Let me read it. Chapter 13. Let me read that. And my time's just about gone. Verse 20, for the sake of time. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. What? Through the blood of the everlasting. Yes, he is the great shepherd. And he must be my shepherd. But he had to shed blood for me.
Amen.
Just being a shepherd's not enough. The shepherd had to give his life for the sheep.
Amen.
That's the foundation of my salvation.
Yes.
Not just him being my shepherd, but him, David, dying for me.
Amen.
And shedding his blood through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Do what? Make you perfect in every good work. So what? Does it depend upon me? Or does it depend upon God? Make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
That pretty much just settles it, don't it?
Amen.
And it's all based upon what? The blood of the covenant.
Yes, sir.
Here's the question. And it was asked, it's been asked before, what think ye of Christ?
Yes, sir.
You don't have to understand everything I said. But do you know this? Christ is my only hope.
Exactly.
That's it. And I love him. Now, how much you love him, basically how strongly you love him, how adequately you love him, that's not the point.
No.
Do you love him?
Yes, sir.
And can you give it over to him and say, Lord, unless you've done it, unless you do it, it won't get done.
Exactly.
That's what believing Christ is. It's not just accepting the facts. The devils know a whole lot more facts than you and I will know until maybe we await in his likeness. They know a whole lot more about God than we do. I mean, when they met Jesus Christ, they said, we know who you are.
Yeah.
Did they dare say, well, we're devils. We're going to do what we want. They begged his permission to do something. Because they knew. Why? They said, are you come here to torment us before our time?
Yeah.
Because they knew he was in charge.
Exactly.
Most people don't know that.
That's it.
You know, most of us human creatures, we don't only not know that. When we hear it, Joe, we rebel against it.
Yes, sir.
But then something happens that changes our hearts and minds. And we begin to love that Jesus. And again, I say, it's blood. That was the thing God was concerned. You know, there's one thing that says God had faith in. The scripture, one thing. Now, God is faithful in everything he's promised. But there's one thing the scripture says God had faith in. And that's in Romans chapter 3, verses 20 through 25. Christ, God the Father, had faith in Christ's blood.
Amen.
God the Father could forgive people's sins before Jesus even died. Old Testament saying, sins that were past.
Yes, sir.
That's what he's talking about. Why? Through the forbearance of God. Why? Through faith in his blood.
Amen.
You see, blood's the whole answer. And I'll quote that one. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission.
Amen.
Now, I know some people say, well, Jesus shed his blood for everybody. Then everybody has to be saved.
Exactly.
They have to.
Yeah.
Blood's been shed. Redemption is accomplished. Reconciliation is done. Christ, it says in Colossians, made peace through the blood of his cross.
Amen.
He's already made peace.
Yes, sir.
It's already done. It's finished. We were reconciled to God. How? By the death of his Son.
Amen.
You see, we're not to believe so that it will be done. We're to believe that it has been done.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And do you believe that? And do you love it?
Exactly.
Father, I pray that as we part our ways, we may be mindful of one another, think about one another, pray for one another, and be encouraged in thy grace and in thy Son. For I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.